The dominant religion in the schools in America is humanism, and the dominant religion in the theaters is pantheism. These two religions are in many respects diametrically opposed. Humanism reduces everything to matter. Pantheism reduces everything to spirit. Humanism says that everything can be explained in a natural way, whereas pantheism stresses the supernatural. Humanism is basically a form of materialism, and pantheism is a form of mysticism. And one extreme seems to breed another. But the popularity of E.T., Raiders of the Lost Ark, and Star Wars shows that pantheism is the dominant religion in the theaters in America today. For example, Star Wars has now grossed $524 million. The Empire Strikes Back has grossed $365 million. And in the first week of the third in that series, The Return of the Jedi, still playing, $45 million in 1 week. This shows you that the dominant religion in the theaters is the religion of pantheism, because the religion of the Jedi is the religion of the East. The religion of Luke Skywalker is the religion of Zen Buddhism. And what concerns me is that we send our young people, we allow them to go, we pay the price for perhaps the greatest propaganda brigade of pantheism to indoctrinate our young people in the religion of Zen Buddhism that has ever been engaged in the history of our country. One mother and her son saw Star Wars 400 times. Terry Harden, a freelance illustrator in California, saw Star Wars 181 times and The Empire Strikes Back 108 times. To show the popularity of this particular brand of religion, I think the box office figures and the amount of times that people have gone is full proof. First of all, let me answer the question, is Star Wars a religion? Secondly, I'd like to answer the question, what religion is it? And thirdly, how does it differ from Christianity? Is Star Wars a religion? First of all, in the first film, Star Wars, also a book by the same title, it refers to the religion of the Jedi three times by name. And what I find incredible is that people who have actually seen that film, some who have seen it many times, and I say this, they're totally unaware. It just kind of slips right by them. Let me give you one of the quotations. Star Wars, page 37. Don't try to frighten us with your sorcerer's ways, Lord Vader. Your sad devotion to that ancient religion has not helped you to conjure up those stolen tapes or gifted you with clairvoyance sufficient to locate the rebels' hidden fortress. The religion of the Jedi is indeed called a religion on two other occasions in the book. Secondly, all of the characteristics of a religion are found in this particular mythology, occult sorcery, that is depicted in Star Wars. For instance, there's a belief in a supreme being called the Force. The Force is defined. They both knew the Force wasn't all-powerful, it says, and no one was infallible with its use. There is a finite but superhuman power beyond man's grasp and through which he can conquer unusual and miraculous things. No one, not even Jedi scientists, it says, were able to truly define the Force. Possibly no one ever will. Sometimes there is much magic as science in the explanation of the Force. Yet what is a magician but a practicing theorist? The Force is a magical power that no one can quite define, but somehow is enabling people to do supernatural feats. While it has never been properly explained, scientists have theorized it is an energy field generated by living things, Early man suspected its existence, yet remained in ignorance of its potential for millennia. So the belief in a supreme power called the Force is found throughout the entire of the Star Wars series. When George Lucas, the writer of this series, was asked in Time magazine, May 19th, 1980, to define the Force, here's what he said. When you are born, you have an energy field around you. You could call it an aura. An archaic description would be a halo. When you die, your energy field joins all other energy fields in the universe. And while you're still living, that larger energy field is sympathetic to your own energy field. In other words, we all participate in energy. When we die, it merges back with the general energy that surrounds everyone. Yoda, who is the master in the films, who teaches the young Jedi pilots in the use of the Force, says this, "For my ally is the Force, and a powerful ally it is. Life creates it and makes it grow. Its energy surrounds us and binds us. Luminous beings we are, not this crude matter. Everything is reducible to the spiritual energy that surrounds all human beings." So it is a religion. It has a God surrogate. It has a substitute for God in the Force. Secondly, they have a belief in miracles. Not only a belief in a supreme being, but a belief in miracles. Again, quoting from Star Wars, "Luke was rapidly growing stronger with the Force and indeed was accomplishing miracles, moving physical objects through the air. Yoda was able to levitate a sunken spaceship. All of these miraculous powers by tapping into the supreme being." Furthermore, they have a belief in moral principles. A supreme being, a belief in miracles, and a belief in moral principles. "Remember the training," Luke cautioned himself. "Remember what Yoda taught. Cast out all hatred and anger and receive the Force. If you receive this supernatural being into your life, it can enable you to cast out anger and fear and to conquer aggression." Again, Luke, "Use the Force only for knowledge and for defense, not as a weapon. Don't give in to hate or anger. They lead to the way of the dark side of the Force." This Force has two sides, a dark side and a light side. If you tap into the dark side, you have anger and aggression. If you tap into the light side of the Force, you can overcome fear and hatred. A supreme being that enables one to perform miracles enables one to live a moral life. Hate and anger are overcome by those who tap in to the good side of the Force. Furthermore, there is a salvation in Star Wars. There is a means by which people can become saved. And here it is in Star Wars, page 133. "That would not matter were the Force flowing through you," Yoda reasoned. "Higher you'd jump, faster you'd move," he exclaimed. "Open yourself to the Force. The supreme power that surrounds all of us, if you open yourself to it, you can do miraculous things, you can perform moral feats, and you can indeed save yourself." Luke failed to levitate this sunken ship, and he watched as Yoda, the Jedi Master, levitated the ship. And then Luke Skywalker said, "I don't believe it." "That is why you fail," replied Yoda. You must feel the Force, have faith in the Force, and you yourself will receive that power by which you can overcome gravity and overcome moral depravity in this world. Salvation is by commitment to the Force. Gotta relax, Luke reminded himself. Let the Force flow. Just relax, a passive acceptance of this surrounding Force that will go through you, and by it you will be able to attain sainthood, which is depicted as being a Jedi pilot in the film. Not only do they have a belief in the supreme being and miracles and morality and a way of salvation, but they believe in life after death. On several occasions in the series, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Ben, appears from the dead and talks to Luke. quote, a voice floated down to him on the dim mist, Yoda and I will be with you always. It was Ben's voice, encouraging them from beyond, from the other world, is this person who had died and is directing the affairs from the other side and reappearing from the dead. So they believe in immortality. Furthermore, you're able to predict the future. You're able to do what fortune tellers can do, what sorcerers have always done. By the use of the Force, you can predict the future. And I'm quoting again from Star Wars. But how am I to know the good side from the bad, he asked, puzzled. You will know, Yoda answered, when you are at peace. Calm, passive, a Jedi uses the Force for knowledge, never for attack. The Force can be used to predict the future because the Force has two sides. It is not a malevolent or a benevolent thing. It has a bad side to it involving hate and fear, and it has a good side involving love, charity, fairness, and hope. And in Time magazine, May 19th, 1980, this is what George Lucas said. If you use the Force well, you can see the future and the past. You can sort of read minds. So you can be a sorcerer by the use of the Force. The religion of the Jedi is the religion of sorcery. It's the religion of witchcraft. It's the religion of Zen Buddhism. It's the religion of pantheism. And it's the most popular religion among young people in America today. The Force can be used to predict the future. Another indication that the Force is really religious is that it's used as a benediction. You hear little kids going around saying, may the Force be with you. As a matter of fact, when two of the dominant figures in the production of Star Wars were receiving their award on television not too long ago, they thanked the Force as they received their award. Yes, the religion of the Jedi is a religion. It says so three times. It has every one of the functions of a religion. Well, this seems to me to bring up another very important point, and that is, does George Lucas himself intend this to be a religion? And at that point, I would like to give you a couple quotations from George Lucas, and there's a new biography of him named Skywalking, which has some excellent information in, plus Time magazine has two articles. Here's what Lucas says. Lucas looks at the film as a modern morality play, a psychological tool that children can use to understand the world better and their place in it and how to adjust to that. It's very basic, he says. It's where religion came from. Fairy tales, religion, all were designed to teach man the right way to live and to give him a moral anchor. Lucas is intentionally writing a morality play that depicts the morality and the religion of Zen Buddhism, of pantheism, in order to teach our young people morals and religion, quoting from the Dallas Times Herald, May 25th, 1983. Also, it says, Star Wars producer George Lucas, a religious man, calls his saga a fairy tale. But it's a very basic, it's where religion came from, he says. Such tales are designed to teach man the right way to live and to give him a moral anchor. So there is no question about the fact that he knows what he's doing and he's intentionally introducing religious and moral principles. The question is, which religious and moral principles? Lucas was concerned about television. He saw television as influenced by humanism, and he was exactly right. He said television has a rootless, amoral approach. And I quote again, there is a whole generation growing up without any kind of fairy tales, Lucas says. And kids need fairy tales. It's an important thing for society to have for kids. Lucas wanted to return to more traditional values that held a special appeal for our rootless society. And he needed a timeless fable that could demonstrate, not pontificate, on the differences between right and wrong, good and evil, responsibility, and shiftlessness. Lucas' whole motivation is moral in presenting these films, as he admits, as his biographer admits, and as anyone who analyzes the film can see. Time Magazine, May 25th, 1983, says this, and it's quoting George Lucas. He said, "I was trying to say in a very simple way, knowing that the film was made for young audiences, that there is a God," notice he now identifies the Force as God, "that there is a God and there is both a good side and a bad side to God." Yes, a good side and a bad side to God. "You have a choice between them. You can choose between the right or the left side of God, as it were. But the world works better if you're on the good side. It's just that simple," end of quote. So Star Wars calls itself a religion three times. It has every characteristic of a religion. George Lucas said he was writing a morality play. He said it is a religious myth, and he calls the Force God and says the simple message is this: there is a God and he has a good side and an evil side, and the world works better if you tap into the good side of God. That's the religion that our young people are being taught, and that we are paying millions of dollars to propagandize in the most dramatic way that any movie has ever been presented. Well, what is the religion of Star Wars? What precisely is this religion, and does George Lucas have motivations for putting it across? Let me quote again from Skywalking, the recent biography by George Lucas. He said, "I wanted to make a kid's film that would strengthen contemporary mythology and introduce a kind of basic morality. Nobody's saying the very basic things, they're dealing in abstracts. Everybody's forgetting to tell the kids, hey, this is right and this is wrong." Lucas was imposing his values on the rest of the world, but he felt they were the right values. He is deliberately and intentionally trying to impose the values of Zen Buddhism, the values of pantheism, on the world, as he himself admits, because he thinks there are no values out there. Now, all of us know that one extreme breeds another. In the public schools, there are no values, and no values have been established as the values. Seeing that spiritual vacuum, the other extreme, the theater, picks up the need for values and imposes on us pantheistic values. Standing in the middle is Christianity, watching the pendulum go by. On the right hand, the pantheist, on the left hand, the humanist. The vacuum in the schools filled by the spiritual message in the media, and the truth of Christianity is left standing in the middle. George Lucas says, and I quote, "A lot of the stuff there in Star Wars is very personal. There is more of me in Star Wars than I care to admit." And in his biography, his biographer tells about George Lucas' background. He was a nominal, that means liberal, Methodist. He reacted against his background, and I quote again, "George's formal exposure to religion was less effective. His parents were Methodists, but George loathed the religious, self-serving piety and especially resented Sunday school." He hated it. He detested it. And you will see the media paint him as though he were Protestant. He reacted against his Protestant background, and at age 6, he had a mystical experience. Again, I quote, "At age 6, he had a mystical experience whose effect still lingers with him. It centered around God. What God is, but more than that, what is reality? What is this? It's as if you reach a point and suddenly you say, wait a second, what is the world? What are we? What am I? How do I function in this, and what's going on here? It was very profound to me at the time." Lucas was thus made aware of the mysteries of life. At age 6, he had a pantheistic, mystical experience that stayed with him for his entire life. In fact, he never left the impact of that experience he had with the Force as a little child. Lucas' concept of the Force was heavily influenced by Carlos Castaneda in his book, Tales of Power. And this is a story of a Mexican sorcerer, really probably never existed, but is importing Eastern religion, namely Zen Buddhism, and teaching it through his novels. And Lucas picked this up, as well as the influence by Zen Buddhism through his director of The Empire Strikes Back, Irving Kirshner. Let me read from what Kirshner himself said. Kirshner said, "I want to introduce some Zen here in The Empire Strikes Back, because I don't want the kids to walk away just feeling that everything is shoot 'em up. But there's also a little something to think about here in terms of yourself and your surroundings." Quoted in Rolling Stones magazine, July 24th, 1980. And here Kirshner, the director of the film, said, "That's what Yoda, who is a Zen master, is saying." So he admits that it's the religion of Zen Buddhism that is being portrayed through Yoda, who is teaching Luke Skywalker, who is permeating his religion throughout the entire film. Perhaps the most important line in the recent biography by the man named Pollock on George Lucas, called Skywalking, is this one on page 140. "The Force embraces passive Oriental philosophies. Yoda's philosophy is Buddhist. He tells Luke that the Force requires him to be calm, at peace, and passive. It should be used for knowledge and defense, not greed and aggression." Yes, there is a religion of the Jedi, and it's the religion of Zen Buddhism. It is the dominant religion behind the Raiders of the Lost Ark, E.T., Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, and The Return of the Jedi. It is the opposite extreme of the religion of humanism. Now let me raise this question. If Star Wars is a religion, and if it is the religion of Zen Buddhism, an Eastern religion, a mystical religion, a pantheistic religion, how does it differ from Christianity? First of all, it has a different view of God. In the religion of the Jedi, and I would like to make a comparison here between the religion of the Jedi and what I shall call the religion of Jesus. The religion of the Jedi believes that God is a cosmic force. The religion of Jesus says he's a heavenly father. The religion of the Jedi says that the Force is an impersonal power. Jesus said there is a personal being, not an it, but a he, our Father, who art in heaven. The religion of the Jedi says the Force is a limited power. The Bible says that God is almighty, infinite in power. The religion of the Jedi says the Force permeates all things like an energy field. The Bible says that God transcends all things as the great creator of the universe. The religion of the Jedi says that God has both a good side and a bad side. The Bible says that God is absolutely good and there is no evil in him whatsoever. The religion of the Jedi has a different view of man. It says that man is an immortal spirit. Matter in the final analysis doesn't matter. But the religion of Jesus said that man is an immortal spirit and body, and that our bodies will be resurrected, and they're an integral part of the whole person. The religion of the Jedi says that there is inherent good in all men. Even the villain of the film, Darth Vader, had good in him that needed to be revived, and in the end, he was converted. But the religion of Jesus says that all men are inherently sinful, that he knew what was in man, and that man must be born again. The religion of the Jedi says that man should direct his life by feeling, because feeling is the highest, the deepest characteristic of man. But the Bible directly appeals to our reason. "Come now, let us reason together. Love the Lord with all your mind. Give a reason for the hope that is in you. Don't pray with your spirit what you don't know is going on in your understanding as well." God made man a rational creature, not simply an existential feeler. The religion of the Jedi says that you're more influential after you die, because Ben Kenobi became more powerful and more influential after he died. The Bible tells us that after you're dead, you have no direct influence in this world. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. They also have a different view of salvation. And this I would like to call the Gospel of Lucas compared to the Gospel of Luke and John and Matthew and Mark. The Gospel of Lucas says the source of your salvation is an unknown force. Now, only one place in the Bible does it directly deal with the religion of pantheism, and that's in Acts chapter 17, where Paul was talking to the Stoics on Mars Hill, who were pantheists. And I reread that chapter yesterday, and I was amazed to see the similarities between the approach of Paul to the Stoics on Mars Hill and to the approach needed to the religion of the Jedi. What is the force? An unknown God. What did Paul preach on in Mars Hill in Acts 17? The unknown God. The gospel, according to Luke, says God is a known Father, a loving Father who cares for us, who loves us, who provides for us, who sent his Son into this world to die for us. The gospel, according to Lucas, salvation is based in human effort. If you struggle, if you concentrate, if you try hard, if you feel the force flowing through you, you can succeed to levitate objects. The gospel according to Jesus is based in divine grace. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. You don't have to struggle for it, work for it, fight for it. You simply have to trust the accomplished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, who died for your sins. The gospel, according to Lucas, the means of salvation is by feeling the force, forgetting what your senses tell you, forgetting what your mind tells you, and feel the force flow through you. The gospel of Christ, there's an appeal to your senses and an appeal to your reason. Jesus said, touch me, handle me, put your finger in my hand, I'm alive. I'm not a ghost, I'm not a spirit. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. There's a constant appeal to the reason and sense of man to place faith in something that is verified in space and time and history. The gospel, according to Lucas, you gain victory over fear and aggression by feeling the force. The gospel according to Christ, you gain forgiveness over sin and guilt by trusting the shed blood of Jesus Christ. A number of years ago, I was speaking to a military group out east, and a young man, 28 years old, brilliant nuclear physicist, approached me after the meeting and said, I'd like to tell you what God did in my life. He said, I was a nuclear physicist at the Naval Academy. I wrote 40-some articles for scholarly journals. I had a little daughter, 6 or 7 years of age, I forget the exact age, and a wife. But he said, I neglected my family. I would spend 40 hours sometimes in a row without coming home at the laboratory. I only remember playing with my daughter twice in all of those years, once playing Tinker Toys, once walking through the park. He said, I really neglected my family. To my surprise, I came home one night and the house was empty. There was a lawn chair, a sleeping bag, my guitar, and a note left. And the note said, I have left you. I'm going to be marrying someone else. You've neglected me and your daughter, and it's all over. He said, I sat there in the lawn chair and took my guitar and started to strum away, and I realized that my wife was right. I had sinned, I was wrong, and there was only one thing to do, and that is to commit suicide. And then the phone rang, and on the other end of the line was a girl he had once tutored in physics. He didn't know she was a Christian. And she said, I need some more teaching in physics. Can you help me, Bob? He said to her, well, I'm really not going to be teaching physics anymore. She said, well, could you help me find someone? He said, I owed that to her, and so I met her for coffee. And she looked at me, and she said, Bob, why are you so sad? And he began to tell the girl why he was so sad. And she looked at him with a smile of radiance on her face, and she said, you know, when I feel down, I turn to Jesus Christ, who gives me the peace that passes all understanding. He said, I couldn't understand what she's talking about. I'm in utter despair, and she's talking about peace that passes all understanding. Like a neon sign, it flashed on and off in my mind, peace that passes understanding. So I agreed to meet with some friends of hers, and to make a long story short, a young man took me home after the meeting, and I forgot to tell you one thing. My wife left one other thing in the home. She left my PhD. And I sat there in my chair, strumming on a guitar, and I reached over and grabbed that PhD, and I crumpled up my hand, and I threw it in the corner of the room, and I said, I traded that piece of paper for my wife and my daughter. I'm guilty. I've sinned. I must atone for my sin. I'm going to commit suicide. And the young man who brought me home said, Bob, you know what? You're right. You sinned. You're also right. That sin needs to be atoned for. But you're wrong. You don't have to atone for it. Jesus Christ died for your sins. And he said, when I heard that, you can't believe the ecstatic joy that came over my life. He said, I went from absolute despair to utter ecstasy in a split second. The emotional change was almost too great. He said, I received Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins. Humanly speaking, he said, it's not a good story. My wife never returned. She married someone else. But I am happy. I have peace. Not by contact with an unknown force. I have peace by faith in a known Christ. And the one thing the Gospel of Lucas cannot offer the world is forgiveness of sins. The one thing it cannot offer the world is faith in a known God whose Son died for our sins and is willing to forgive anyone who will trust him by faith. The gospel according to Lucas is the gospel of pantheism. The gospel according to Luke is the gospel of the grace of God. The Apostle Paul